Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Okay, this morning we talked to you a little bit about how, what the prodigal found in the far country. Tonight I want to talk to you beginning in verse 18. What the prodigal found at the father's house. I like what he found at the father's house much better than what he found in the far country. Would you stand with me as we read tonight? Luke chapter number 15. I want to remind you again tonight, this chapter is what we call the lost and found chapter. It deals with things that are lost. It deals with a lost sheep. It deals with a lost corn or piece of money. And it also deals with a lost son. And all three of them were lost. They were lost in different places, but all three of them was lost. And what Jesus is doing here, this is one parable with three stories. There's three stories tied to this parable. The sheep, the piece of money, also the prodigal. That's three different stories, but it's one parable. And notice in chapter 15 and verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans, and that's the tax collectors, and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. Now, they was all upset because he received sinners. And what he does, he illustrates this chapter, showing them how that things are lost without him. And without him, you are lost. That's so true. And this morning we skipped the money, we skipped also the sheep, and I went straight to the prodigal, the son, this morning. And we saw in verses number 11 down through, actually through verse 17, how that he went to his father and asked for his substance, asked for his money, and of course his father gives it to him. And the Bible said he took his journey into a far country. And this morning we saw what he found in the far country. For the sake of time, look at verse 17. Bible said in verse 17, and when he came to himself, by the way, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom before you ever come to yourself. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father have bread enough to spare, but I perish with hunger. I will arise, I'll go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, boy, I love this, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his head, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now at this point, you think everybody be saying hallelujah. You think everybody be excited. Look at the next verse. And his elder son, which was in the field, I came and drew near unto the house and heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him, what does these things meaneth? And he said unto him, thy brother which is come, let's read the verse right. And he said unto him, thy brother which is come, thy father have killed the fatted calf, and because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Can you believe that? You think everybody be excited. But the Bible said in the verse here, but he was angry and would not go in. He's a Baptist. He's upset. Look what he's upset over. Would not go in. Therefore came he out, his father out, and entreated him. In other words, the word entreat, Barker theology, here's what it means. Son, get your head screwed on. You ain't thinking right. Entreated him. And he answered and said in verse 29 to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never give me a kid or a goat or a calf. That's what he's talking about. That thou mightest be merry out with my friends. You're talking about envy. You're talking about jealousy. That's a bad thing. And as soon as, in verse number 30, and as soon as this thy son, he didn't say his brother. It is his brother whether he wants to admit it or not. Thy son. You ever said this? I said this to my wife before. Your son. But as soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured his living with the harlots, and thou killest him a fatted calf. Now, he's putting something in here that's not in here. Nowhere does it say that he is with the harlots. He did mess up. He did go in the far country. But he didn't say he was the harlots. The Bible said, and also in the next verse, he saith unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You know what that means? You're the elder son, you're going to get it. Get your attitude right. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother that galled him. He's not all my son, he's your brother. Thy brother was dead and is alive again. And is lost and is found. Thank you for sending you to be seated. I'm going to take these verses tonight for a few minutes tonight and talk to you a little bit tonight about what the prodigal found at the father's house. We saw this morning for a few minutes what he saw in a far country, but what he saw here at the father's house. And again, I want to say this about this parable tonight. This is probably one of the most familiar parables in all the Word of God. I have preached on it many, many times. You preached on it many times. Matter of fact, this is message 5. I have a series of 7 messages I preach out of this chapter. And it's a very familiar story this evening. And you know it and I know it also. And basically what I want to deal with tonight is the father's attitude. The father's attitude. And I'll say real quick, it was good. He had a good attitude. And we're going to see that in the message tonight, how the father's attitude. And basically what we're going to look at tonight is from 18 down through the remaining part of the chapter, how we just got done reading. But notice this tonight. Look at verse number 12 again. And the younger of them said unto his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Notice in that verse, he said, and I didn't take time to do this morning, so I'll do it tonight. He said, give me. That's the generation we're living in right now. What can you do for me? I want this and I want it now. Did you tell me you was married? You said you weren't married. What was the answer you gave me a while ago? He ain't been married long, but here's what I started to say. A lot of these couples, you really ain't married, are you? A lot of these couples this day and time, they want what mom and daddy's got, but they don't realize it took mom and daddy 40 years to get what they got. And what he's saying is, give it to me and I want it now. He was interested in himself and nobody else. But notice something else right here. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 19. Bible said in verse 19, and no man, he said, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. There's a world of difference in give me or make me. You say, what's the difference? Eternity. Give me or make me. And boy, I want to tell you, his attitude at this point has really changed. How he's come home now, and how when you study about him here in these verses, he's hungry, he's homesick, and he's also homeless tonight, away from home tonight. And he's coming back home, thank God, to the Father this evening. And he's getting ready to find some wonderful things at the Father's house. Again, I'll say this. I've said it before in this pulpit. I had no idea that night I got saved. What all I was getting that night I got saved. 52 years down the road, I'm still learning, thank God, of all that he gave me that night I got saved. And I'll say this little boy here, he's getting ready to come home. And I'm telling you, thank God, he's getting ready to find some good stuff at the Father's house. You see, in the far country, all he saw was misery. But in the Father's house, all he saw was mercy. And I will tell you, when you come to him, thank God, how there's always mercy. I'll tell you something like, we didn't get justice. We got mercy, thank God. Because had we got justice, we wouldn't be here this evening. So I want to give you two or three real quick things tonight. And I'm going to watch the clock right now. It's 25 minutes to 6 and in Alabama. But here we go. Notice with me tonight, first of all, in this text tonight. In this text, notice in verse number 20. The Bible said, and he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. His father saw him. I can imagine his daddy standing on the front porch. And away down the road, he's saying to himself, that looks like my son. That looks like my boy. That looks like who I've been praying for. And when he saw him a great way off, I thought about that when I read that again this afternoon. Aren't you glad God saw you a great way off? I'm telling you, he sees you tonight. He knows where you're at. And the Bible said he saw him a great way off. Look at verse 20. And when he arose and came to his father, but when he's yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'll say, first of all, the first thing he found at the father's house, he found love. Amen. I said, the first thing he found, thank God, at the father's house, he found love. Are you listening? And I thought about this when I said in this week, in spite of everything this boy done, in spite of that, he wished his daddy was dead. He wanted his inheritance. Give me that befalls me. I dealt with that this morning. In order for that to happen, it don't normally happen to the father or mother when dies. And so he actually was wishing that his daddy, I was dead. He said, give me. But when you come to this point right here, in spite of everything this boy done, you know, I'm glad I can say this tonight. I have never had to worry about my boy being out in the world. I never have. I've never had to worry about him drinking. I never had to worry about him smoking dope. I've never had to worry about him doing dumb stuff. I never got him out of jail one time. And I never had to worry about any of that. You say, did you not have anything at all to worry about him? Your computer don't have a hard drive that big. But I'll say this to you now. Listen to me. I've never had to worry about that. But here's a father tonight. His son is in a far country. He's spent everything he's got, and he's feeding the swines. How low anybody would stoop to do that as a Jew. And I want to say this tonight. I'm glad, thank God, when he come back to the father wouldn't send out with a rod. Father didn't shut the door and said, you're not coming in. By the way, the father kept the door open the whole time. Mom and daddy, you better listen to me preach. I said the mom and daddy kept he kept the door open the whole time. And he's standing here on the front porch when he sees his son coming. Thank God, with outstretched arms, welcome his son back home. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Hey, I'll tell you, he had love on his mind. And I'll say this to you tonight. When he come to the father's house, thank God, he found love. He found love. And I want to say to you and I this evening, when you and I came to him, or he listened to me, he loved us. In spite of what we were, in spite of where we were, he loved us. And I want to say this about this father. There was never a time that the father didn't have the son on his mind. There was never a time that the father didn't have his son. Bible said in that verse, when he saw him a great way off. Praise the Lord. My older brother, and I'm not going into this, but my older brother on the internet, so I won't go into this. My older brother was meaner than the devil before he got saved. I got saved before either one of my brothers did. Matter of fact, I got saved just about before anybody in my family got saved. And I got saved first. Probably was first one. Maybe my older sister may have did. But anyhow, my brother was 27 years old before he ever got saved. I got saved when I was 18. And it's funny. And just go get him out of jail. Now we go to jail together. Hey, man. I forgot his grandson sitting over here on the front row. I'm telling you, I seen my dad do things for him. My dad loved him in spite of what he was. My dad loved him. My dad did things for him. I'd get mad at it. I'd get mad because dad would do that. I bless God, leave him in jail. That's where he ought to be. And some stuff, and I didn't know he was here, but he always listened to me. I'm just telling you this tonight. I saw my daddy love my brother at his lowest state. And can I tell you something tonight? When he come back home, my dad always welcomed him out with open arms and welcomed him back home. Thank God. Listen to me. I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care how low in sin you've gone. Thank God there's a heavenly Father that cares about you. Are you listening? He saw him. He loved him just like he was. And this is unusual. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. And when he's yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran. Any Bible scholars in here? Anybody know what that means? He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Check me out, see if I'm not telling you the truth. In the olden days, in Jesus' days, Brother Stan, the old man didn't run. I know an old man that don't run now. It was very uncommon for an old man to run or trot. They just didn't do it. Study Jewish history. They just didn't do it. But when this father saw his son, I'm talking about he found love. When he got back to the Father's house, he didn't only see him a great way off with outstretched arms, but thank God he broke in a run and took off to me. I can see him now. I'm meeting somewhere out there in the yard or on the road and him embracing his son and loving his son just like he was. I tell you what he found love at the Father's house. Are you listening to me? And in spite of all the prodigal had done, wasted all the substance, brought shame on his father's name, brought shame on his family's name. In spite of every bit out, wasted everything, verse 12 and 13, I dealt with it this morning. He spent it all, he wasted it all, and it's all gone. And that prodigal simply means waste, and he's a wasteful person, and he wasted it all. Can you imagine the heart of that father? Oh my, he loved his son in spite of everything he did. He still loved him, thank God. I tell guys in jails this all the time. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I told the old boy I was telling you about, got saved last week. His name was Michael. And I said, Michael, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Michael was a big boy. I'm telling you, Michael's about as tall as that exit sign right there and about the size of a Herman monster. I'm telling you, he's a big old fella. And he wasn't as ugly as Herman, but anyhow, he's a big old fella. And I told him, I said, Michael, I'll tell you something. Maybe not quite that tall, maybe this tall. And I said, I'll tell you something, buddy. I said, had you been the only person in the world, had there never been another human being, had there never been another man or another woman, God loved you so much that he would have gave his son that you could be saved by the grace of God. I said, Michael, that's God commendeth his love towards us. Not when we're good, but when we're sinners. God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And by the way, when he died, we're all sinners. Are you listening to me? And I just want to say to you tonight, thank God. I'll tell you what he found. He found love. How the Father kissed him, and the Father loved him, and the Father received him, thank God. This is an amazing thing. Bible said that the Father fell on his neck and kissed him. I'm not going to do that now, you fellas. But he fell on his neck and he kissed him. But you check me out and see if I'm not telling you the truth. The word kiss there is a continuation. It meant that he just kept kissing him. He just kept kissing him. He loved him and just kept kissing him. He was so excited. Little Ezekiel, my great-grandson, and the only thing greater than having grandbabies is great-grandbabies. And my little great-grandson, Ezekiel, He loves me. Him and I, we're buddies. We're buddies. I'll be up at Jeremy's or be over to Jeremiah's one. We'll get ready to leave. He'll come crawl up in my truck. I'll go with you, Papa. I'll go with you. I'll go to your house. I'll go home with you. And boy, he'll hug me and he'll kiss me, but he'll keep kissing me. That's what my wife does. I mean, she gets it one time. She just keep. Are you listening? But listen to me. This story right here, this prodigal right here, the father hugged him and fell on his neck. It simply means he kept on kissing him. And I'll tell you, hey, aren't you glad the father kisses you and I? Hey, aren't you glad the father loves you and I? How even when we do wrong, thank God, he loves us with mercy and grace, thank God. He found love at the father's house. Father's love was endearing. Father's love was excitement. The father's love was enriching. The father's love was expressed. The father's love embraced. I say to you, he found love at the father's house. And I'll just say to you real quick tonight, you may be somebody watching over the internet tonight. You may be out there in the world and your life all messed up. I'll tell you, somebody loves you today. I'll tell you, somebody cares about you today. I'll tell you, somebody that will embrace you and love you and take you just like you are. He found love at the father's house. Number two. I want to say he didn't only find love at the father's house, but look at verse 18. The Bible said, and I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, I have sinned. Now, I had to get y'all out in time for the junior church this morning. Brother Rodney said that's a 15-minute bottle. Brother Rodney don't know what I got under here. I'm not going to preach, so I'm watch this first. I will arise, and I'll go to my father's house, and I will say unto him, I have sinned. What a confession. You'll never get right till you confess. But look at the rest of the verse. I have sinned against, somebody give me the next word, heaven. And I'm against heaven and before they look at verse number 21. By sin, verse 21. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against who? Heaven. I'll say he didn't only find love at the father's house, but number two, he found the Lord. Notice he said, I've sinned against heaven before he said, I sinned against the father. I sinned against heaven before I sinned against my home. I sinned against heaven. Are you getting what he's saying? Listen, you got to come clean with God. Listen, we ain't nothing but a bunch of bankrupt sinners that ought to die and go to hell. But when you come clean with God, say, I've sinned against heaven. I'm not worthy of anything. I ought to go to hell. I'm worthy of nothing. And whatever you do, smash in grace, and I thank you for it. The night I got saved, listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Man, I enjoyed preaching on that the other day. I enjoyed this part of it. But the gift of God is eternal life. Notice, he didn't only find love, he found the Lord. The boy says, look, I sin against heaven. And when you sin against him, you've automatically sinned against your family. And before thee. And I'll say, preacher, what did he find? I'll tell you what he found. He found the Lord. And the thought, listen to me. He realized that tonight. He realized that tonight. And I'll just say this to you. You'll never really get saved. I use this all the time leading people to Christ. The ABCs of salvation. ABC. A, you got to acknowledge. You got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. A, B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in thine heart. And your heart is not your pump. You got a pump that's pumping blood through your body. I forget how many quarts of blood we have in our body. How many is Brother Robert? He don't know either. But that is a pump. Can I tell you what your heart is, Brother Robert? I see you, but I don't see you. She sees you better than I see you. Because she'd been with you a few days. You see me, but you don't see me. The real me is in here. My thoughts, my will, my action, my attitude. That's my heart. My movement, that's my heart. It's not my pump, it's my heart. Why am I preaching that? That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. A, B, what's the next one? What's the next letter? see. It is see, isn't it? Call on the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I just want to say this to you real quick tonight. He had to get his eyes open before you ever get saved. You'll never get found until you get lost. And if you'll come to God as a bankrupt sinner, a junkie religion, a junkie pride, junk everything you've ever done, and come to God as a bankrupt sinner, naked before God, realizing He's everything and we're nothing tonight. That's what this boy done. He came to himself. And the only way you'll ever get saved is come to yourself, thank God. It's come to the realization. And the Bible said that he came to himself. He says in verse 18, and I will arise. Again, I want to remind you this. Boy, it's good. He realized, he repented, he returned. I believe I'll preach on that sometime. But in verse 18 here, it says, I've sinned against heaven. And again, let me just say this to you. You'll never really get saved until you realize your need of God. And I would say he found the Lord when he came. He said, I've sinned against heaven. And watch this. While he's making that, come here, man. You be the prodigal. Oh, married man, come here. Tell me how sorry you are. Tell me you've sinned. Tell me you've done wrong. Tell me all that stuff. Now, son, it ain't funny. Now, look up here. Tell me how sorry you are. Tell me what
I've done wrong.
You've done wrong. You're sorry. You lied. Cheated. While that prodigal, this prodigal's a little more forward with his confession than him. But while that prodigal is making that confession, you know what the Father does, Brother Bailey? He stops him right in the middle of it and won't even let him finish his confession. He stops him right in the middle of it and loves him and has mercy on him. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? If you'll come clean with God and get right with God, get your marriage straightened out, are you listening to me? Hear me tonight. This old boy, listen, he admitted to the Father. And right in the middle of his confession, the Father stops and says, that's good enough. Don't say anything else. Everything, you're forgiven. And I'll tell you, when you come to God, that's what happened to you. He found the Lord, thank God. He found love. Then I want to say number three. He didn't only find love, he found the Lord. But look at verse 22. The Bible says in verse 22, but the Father said unto the servant, well, let's go back to verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and now no more worthy to be called thy son. And by the way, we're not. We're worthy of nothing. Nobody owes me anything. I'm worthy of nothing. No more worthy to be called thy son. Look at the next verse. And the father saith unto the servant, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring thither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and alive. He's lost and he's found. Notice, he found the Lord. He found love. But then number three, real quick tonight in this text, he found laboring. Somebody had to labor. Somebody had to work. And the father labored and the father paid for every bit of it. He didn't pay for nothing. And the reason he didn't pay for nothing, he didn't have nothing. He lost all lot in the far country. He come back as a, broke as a convict. I'm sorry, broke as an inmate. Are you listening? Politically correct. And broke as an inmate. And hear what I'm saying to you tonight. You say, what did he find? He found labor. The father and the servant paid for everything. They labored, they worked, they done it all. All this boy done. Hey, you see, it was the father that paid the servants. It was the father that bought the best robe. It was the father that bought the ring. It was the father that bought the cake. It was the father. Hey, all he done furnished the sinner. And by the way, that's called saved by grace. Amen. You can't do enough good works to be saved. Listen to me, you don't have the ability. You don't have enough. There's no way. And I will tell you, if that's what you're basing your salvation on, take you to heaven. Friend, you're not going to heaven, I'll tell you that. You got to realize it's Him, for by grace, and I'll say this to you, He found laborers. Those, the Father, He paid every bit of it. All this son's doing is enjoying what the Father had, because the Father, thank God, made provisions and paid for every bit of it. Notice what He done. He paid the servants. He brought, and notice he said, bring the best robe. not the one that's wore out, the best robe, the best robe. Then he said, bring the ring, put it on his hand. Then he said, bring the shoes, put them on his feet. Then he said, kill the fatted calf. That best robe simply speaks of the Father's accepting him. That's what that means. The Father accepted him by putting on the robe. Putting a ring on his hand, that simply means sonship. Sonship. The shoes on his feet, that stands for service. And the fatted calf stands for fellowship. And notice this. He said, bring forth the fatted calf. Don't go down and get one that's looked like it's had corona. Lost 150 pounds. Don't mess with that one. Get that real pretty one. And by the way, can I say this to you? That calf, that fatted calf, speaks of the Father's faith. He picked him out a calf. Months and months and months before this boy come home. He said, we're going to fatten that up right there. My boy's coming home some of these days. I'm about to shout. My boy's coming home some of these days. I want one fatted. I want ready for the kill. And the Father, he in his mind, his heart, he knew that son was going to come back one day. When he got back, he already had the provisions fixed to have a party. Hello? Are y'all hearing me? I'm talking about the Father's faith, because he realized, hey, he had to get the calf fattened up and paid the servant to do that. And I just want to say this to you now, everything we are tonight. See, the son had lost everything. Hey, the son had wasted it all and spent it all in a far country. But here comes this poor, homeless, hopeless son that's wasted everything. And instead of the father preaching him a sermon, instead of the father jumping down his throat, first thing a father does, jumps off the front porch. I don't know if you've got further enough along in your Bible reading it or not, that you can see things between them lines. That surgery this year on my eyes, I got one see. I see things between them lines before I had surgery. But here's what I started saying. I see that father, he dives off that porch and makes a beeline for that son. Again, I want to tell you something this morning. Son didn't have nothing. He'd wasted it all. And he brought what was left over and gave himself to the Father. And I'll say this to you tonight. He found labor. And those that had labored got things ready. By the way, can I say this to you? Listen to this. By all rights, you know what that father could have done? You don't want me to do this to you. Lay down. By all rights, that father could have taken his foot and broke his son's neck. Or, Deuteronomy 21, they could have stoned him. Under the law, he was supposed to have been stoned. Under the law, the neighbors could have brought him out. I ain't done with you. Son, he looks dead. Look at that. The father didn't put his foot on his neck and kill him. The father didn't call the neighbors in under law, Deuteronomy, and stone him. Deuteronomy means second law. They didn't do that. But instead of doing that, thank you, my friend. Instead of doing that, are you listening to me? Instead of doing that, thank God, the laboring. They had everything fixed, had everything set up. And all the laboring, instead of stoning him, man, they had a big kadoo for him. And I'll tell you, the day you got saved, that's what happened to you. If you got what you deserve, you and I both would be in hell. But God showed grace and mercy and love and kindness. He didn't put us in hell, but he saved our soul. Thank God, God take us to heaven one day. Well, I got to close. You see, the Father's love, that's what he found. You see, the Lord, that's what he found. You see, the laborers, that's who he found. But last of all, when he got back to the father's house, he found lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. Look at verse 25. And his elder son was in the field. And he came and drew near to the house. They had the band cranked up. Son, they's having a party. They's having a time. Heard the music, dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him, These things meaneth. Just for a second, you're going to be the servant. And I'm going to be the elder son. I've never played this part. But when that son come home and he heard that music out in the field, they're dancing and praising God and having a time. I say he found, when the son come back home, he found lukewarmness. And he goes up and he sees the party. He sees his brother that he's jealous of. Jealousy is a monster in the Baptist church. And boy, he gets that servants to come out here. What's going on in there?
They're celebrating your brother. He's home.
That had his dwelling with the harlots.
Yep.
And they're having a party for him.
Yep. Ain't you happy to see your brother?
No. All of a sudden, that elder brother gets the pooch lips. I hate for people to get the pooch lips while I'm preaching. Surprised what you see preaching. And boy, he gets all upset. And that servant goes back in the house and tells the father that the elder son out there is mad as the devil. Then the father comes out, I read it to you, and entreats him. Tries to talk some sense into him. And you know what that old boy does? He brings up everything in the world. I could drop a plow right here. I've had that experience down through the years pastoring. Every ain't that I've used in the pulpit, I've been reminded of it. You heard about the preacher that said ain't 7 times during his message, didn't you? 7 times he used the word ain't. A school teacher come up to him after service, just boiling over, mad, upset, face red, foaming at the mouth. You know what you done? You know what you said? He said, no, but I'm getting ready to find out, I think. You said ain't 7 times. The preacher looked at that woman and said, I ain't changing. So that, where are we at right now? The father is trying his best to calm that boy down. And all he's doing, all that guy's doing, lukewarmness, instead of rejoicing, instead of being happy, here he is, his brother that had went off in. And by the way, can I just say this? The younger son was lost in sin. The elder son was lost in self-righteousness. The younger son, listen to me. The elder son, he kept the father's law. But the elder son didn't keep the father's heart. Are you hearing me? And I want to say this to you tonight. If you can't shout on somebody else's blessings, there's something wrong with you. If you can't rejoice in somebody else's blessings, hey, something bad wrong with you. Hey, listen to me. Instead of having a funeral, they're having a feast. Isn't that good? Instead of burying him and having a funeral, they're having a feast. This is what it reminds me of. I read this today. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? And crown thee with love and kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things? Psalm 103. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things? So that the youth is renewed like an eagle. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Verse 10, he have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher and above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and remember that we're but dust. That might not do a thing for you, but it makes me want to run to haystack and back. Oh, yeah. I'm Psalm 103. Read it when you get home. If you read Psalm 103, the first 15 verses, and not shout, you're probably backslid. That's exactly what happened to this prodigal right here. God didn't remember. He didn't remember his iniquities. He cast them away. As a father pitieth his children, God pities you and I. And I'll say to you one more time, instead of having a funeral, instead of having a funeral, thank God they're having a feast. Bless his name. I'll tell you what he found. He found at the Father's house, he found love. Hey, thank God he found the Lord. He found labors. But I wonder if we've got somebody here tonight. He found lukewarmness, fault finding, griping about everything. Are you listening to me? How sad. That jealousy. I'll tell you, one of the worst problems I ever had pastoring. It wasn't over a doctrinal issue. It wasn't even over somebody committing adultery or drinking liquor. It wasn't that at all. It's some loose-tongued somebody, lukewarm, running their mouth, criticizing what's going on, criticizing what happens in church. Are you listening to me? Now, we don't have that problem with Amazing Grace, do we? Come on, now, help me. I don't come much, so help me. And I'll tell you tonight, I don't want to be labeled that way. How many remember the Kingston? Was it the Kingston Quartet? Kingman. Somebody tell me what their names are. Kingsman. Y'all remember that song they sang years ago? And he did this little story in the song. Said he was on a train on his way home and sat down beside of a young man. Y'all know where I'm going with this? Sat down beside a young man. And the fellow asked the young man, said, what's your name? You know, struck up the conversation. Young man said, my name is so-and-so. I've been gone from my dad for years and years and years. My life's been in a mess. I've wasted everything I've ever had. I've wasted my dad's stuff. I brought shame on God. I brought shame on my mom and daddy. I'm just so ashamed of what I've done and where I've been. But he told the guy, said, just a few weeks ago, I got right with God. And I wrote my mom and daddy a letter and told them I'd got right with God. And said, I told them I was coming home. And he said, he told his mom and daddy, you remember that? Said he told his mom and daddy, if I'll be accepted, if y'all accept me back in the family, as I come by on the train, there's a big apple tree out in the front yard. And then that apple tree, if y'all forgive me and will accept me back home, tie white rags all in that white apple, in that apple tree, and I'll see them when the train pulls up. If there's not any white flags there, I know you don't want me, and I understand if you don't, I'll just stay on the train and go on. And they're getting close to the end to stop. And that young man looked up at the guy that stuck up the conversation. He said, sir, we're just about there. He said, I can't look. He said, I can't look. Said, would you mind looking out the window for me? Would you mind looking out the window for me? And that man looked out the window and he went back and he told that young boy that was up. He said, man, he said, the whole tree is just decorated solid white. Said, look out that window. Can I tell y'all something this afternoon? I don't condone sin. I don't want you to mess your life up. I don't want you to do that. But if you have messed up, I'll tell you what's waiting on you at your father's house. I'll promise you it is. I'll promise you. I'll tell you, you go, and I keep bringing up that jail stuff. You go to jail and see those guys, they're pitiful. I'm telling you, it's pitiful. It's awful. It's pitiful. Their lives are in a mess. It's pitiful. But I'm glad, listen, if they'll get right with God, I'll tell you what the Father will do. He'll hang out white rags everywhere in heaven, and he'll forgive you. Thank God, hear me and hear me well. He found everything he needed at the Father's house. And I want to say, since I got to the Father's house many, many years ago, I've never been disappointed. I've never been disappointed. I was teaching Sunday school this morning and was talking about what the church should mean to you. And I want to say this, and I say it from the bottom of my heart. I have never went to church looking for a blessing and seeking a blessing what God didn't give it to me. Right. Preacher may have struck out. Singers may sound like a bunch of hound dogs. But I'll promise you, if you'll go to church with that attitude, I'll guarantee you'll leave blessed every time. My daddy preached and pastored 55 years, and daddy used to say this all the time. I got so tired of hearing it when I was growing up. Well, good to see you tonight. If you come looking for a blessing tonight, you'll get a blessing tonight. When he'd start saying that, I'd be sitting on the back row and I'd say, you're going to leave me a blessing tonight. You're going to believe me. I'd say it. It was ingrained in my mind. I got tired of hearing it. But I tell you what I found out after my dad had been gone 15 years. He's telling the truth. Let's stand.